Why listen to the past when you can listen to the future? Welcome to the Think Future podcast, broadcasting from deep in the heart of Silicon Valley, California. We focus on innovation, startups, and the future, not necessarily those and not necessarily in that order. Here's your host.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Think Future podcast. I'm your host, Chris Kalaboukas, and once again, we're coming at you live from deep in the heart of Silicon Valley, California. That's right, folks. Silicon Valley, the home of all innovation, supposedly. Show number 232. That's right, folks. Yet another palindromic show number. Oh, they're coming fast and furious now, aren't they? So today we're going to step back a little bit. We're going to stop talking about innovation. We're going to stop talking about startups. We're going to stop talking about the future. And we're going to talk about something that's near and dear to most of us hearts, is how do your customers find you? How do they find out about you? How do they become aware of you? How do they determine that you are the right choice for your customer? I did a podcast a couple weeks ago with the Brand Doctor. I forget the name of his show, but if you search for Brand Doctor on iTunes, you'll be able to pick up his show. And it was a great interview, interesting. And we were talking about something that was near and dear to his heart, which was customer journey mapping. Although when we had our conversation, it sounded more like he was interested in prospect journey mapping, which is a completely different thing. But he was talking about customer journey mapping. And we broke it down in that, how do your customers interact with you? How do your customers find you? And how does that communication work? Now, in the past, it was a lot easier. Prior to the internet, it was much, much easier to determine where your customer was coming from. Now, it wasn't very accurate because we didn't have any kind of sort of electronic tracking of where people were coming from. And since most sales are online now, it's fairly easy to map a customer's journey through, oh, I saw this ad, or I saw this blog post, or I saw whatever. And we can sort of track how they went through the electronic process of online purchasing. But in the past, prior to that, it was more like, so we throw some advertising out there, we do some commercials, we do a bunch of different things, we kind of spray and pray, and we kind of hope that somebody will actually walk into a store, say if you're a retailer, and purchase the product. Now, I'll give you an example of a customer journey I just went through recently, and let me know if you think that this retailer even thought that this might be the way that they would make a sale. So my wife and I travel sometimes around the Bay Area on the weekends, and this time we happen to be in Concord, which is a town pretty far north of here. It's about it's northeast of the main Bay Area, and it's a little bedroom community of San Francisco. There's a BART station there that takes you directly to downtown San Francisco. So that's basically what it is. It's a little bedroom community. So we're driving around there to see what it was like, just for fun. And sometimes we just go into the local thrift shops, Goodwill, Savers, shops like that, and just to see if there's anything interesting to pick up. And I found a shirt. I found a shirt that was barely worn, almost brand new, from a company called Johnson & Murphy. And I thought to myself, Johnson & Murphy, they ring a bell. What do they do? And I remember that they were mostly a shoe store. And the last time I went into a Johnson & Murphy was in San Francisco, and they had some very nice shoes there, and that's all they had were shoes. But here was this long sleeve dress shirt that looked pretty appealing. So I picked it up, and this is what I normally do is when we go to these places, there's a lot of people who have donated designer goods, so I always look for the designer good. So I picked up the shirt, tried it on with a bunch of others, and it fit me perfectly. Perfectly. And I thought to myself, wow, where has this brand been all my life? Right? I didn't even know that they did clothing. So I bought this shirt. I think it was something like $6. I bought this shirt, and I thought, wow, this fits so well. I wonder if the rest of the line is just as good. So I did a search online. I looked for Johnston & Murphy stores in this vicinity. And there happens to be a Johnson & Murphy outlet store in a town called Gilroy, which is, yes, famous for its garlic, but a half an hour south of here. And I thought to myself, that's interesting. So the next weekend came along and we drove down there and I walked into the store and I noticed that they had a ton of shirts available. They had shoes, of course, but there was a ton of shirts. There were a ton of polos. There was everything. And I thought to myself, wow, this is so cool. So I went in there and I tried them on. And guess what? Every one of them fit me absolutely perfectly. So what happened? I dropped $300 on a bunch of shirts and polos. So if I hadn't walked into that Goodwill, if I hadn't picked up that shirt that someone had donated to Goodwill, and tried it on, I wouldn't have dropped $300 at Johnston & Murphy. I would never have thought to go into a Johnston & Murphy store to buy a shirt. There was absolutely no way I would do that. And in all the media that I looked at, and all the advertising that I looked at, there was never any way that they were going to get in front of me. The only way they were able to get in front of me is that someone donated a shirt. And that led me on the path to buying a bunch at Johnston & Murphy. And now it's my favorite clothing store. That's where I buy all my clothes from. So they've made me a lifelong customer. Who made me the lifelong customer? That person who donated a shirt to Goodwill. So that's my convoluted customer journey to get to Johnston & Murphy. So if you think about it, what is your customer's journey right now? How do they get to you? I mean, do they usually get direct to you through some kind of internet advertising? Or do they take these kind of circuitous routes to get to you? Have you ever actually sat down and mapped out your customer's journey to see how they got to you? And then once you've mapped out how they've gotten to you, how you can optimize that or increase it so that you can broaden the way your customers come to you? I don't think a lot of people have done that sort of deep analysis of how customers first found out about you, how they decided that they were going to purchase your product, how they became a customer. I think a lot of times we figure it's, you know, they've heard about us from somewhere and then they try us out and then eventually they become a customer. But do you really know sort of the details of where they got to? Because this is what happens nowadays. I mean, nowadays, it used to be, so I see an ad, I walk into a store, I buy a shirt. It's not like that anymore. Now it's like, I may have seen it here, I may have seen it there, I may have seen it here, I may have seen it here. How many of those touch points and what kind of touch points are there before your customer decides to purchase? Is there a way to systematize those touch points? Or is it always totally random that you never know exactly when that prospect is going to become a customer based on where they are within the customer journey? Maybe someone will jump on it right away. They go, yes, this is great. I'm going to do this right away. Or they'll think about it more. They'll ponder it. The trick is to capture the customer at the moment they are ready to buy. And I mean, I've talked about this before, is that the reason why we're flooding the internet with all of these marketing messages is that we don't really know exactly when a customer is ready to buy something. We haven't figured that out yet. No matter the fact that we have all of these sophisticated AIs tracking customers and watching customers and inferring intent from customers, for some reason, the human mind is so arcane that we have not been able to sort of look at the breadcrumbs that is dropping all over the internet and say, this customer is ready to buy product X. Now, I don't think that's an intractable problem. I don't think that's an intractable problem because a lot of people have said that, you know, human beings are relatively simple creatures, right? You should be able to, based on the breadcrumbs that they leave all over the internet. And if you think about it, Google probably has 99% of the information that's required in order to determine whether customer A really wants product B and whether they're absolutely ready for to purchase product B. But for some reason, we still can't make that connection. So one of the first key things that needs to be done is mapping out your customer journey and figuring out how they got from absolutely no knowledge of you to a happy, satisfied, repeat customer. And if you haven't done that recently, it changes all the time. So it's something that absolutely needs to be done. That's it for me for today. See you next time. And until then, don't forget to think future.